Judges chapter 17, let's read it. Let's read it. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. Wow. Wouldn't you hate to know that your children were stealing from you? Is there any parents in here would say that it would hurt you to know that the children had went into your dwelling and stole from you? That hurt my feelings. I might even say it like this. It would disappoint me. I've never, Kristen's 34, Ashlyn and Jared, I've never had a time where I've tried to give them a private one-to-one, one-on-one lesson on how to steal. But I have spent time teaching them the opposite. Be honest. You didn't work for it, it ain't yours. Boy, wouldn't that help the country's deficit problem? Well, let's get on back to the scripture right here. He said, I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. I don't know about you, but I'm confused already. I could have imagined if I'd have went and told my mama, oh, that money that you've been missing for a while, got it in my back pocket. I could hear her now. Yeah, they fixed to be something else on your back pocket too. Now, this younger generation don't know nothing about that. But all of us of my age group, remember, it was against the law for stealing. And if you'd have done it when you was a young and even in your own home. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son. This is a real tough chapter. This is a real tough. If you've ever read it, this is a real tough chapter. I trust you've read it. Because there's some things that this woman thinks she knows about God, but don't. And I'm coming to find out from the lesson this chapter, Brother Tracy, it runs so parallel with the word religion. There's a religious way. And this woman's trying to be religious. And you and I can't be religious. I think it's a mockery to Christianity. And the Bible says that she had dedicated the silver unto the Lord. That's Jehovah God. All right? The Bible says this, from my hand for my son. Make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee. What in the world is this woman thinking? You know what I think she's doing? Can I throw it out like this here? I think she's throwing her children, she's throwing her son to the dogs. Your children will never understand why it is that most of your answers are no. No. Dad, can I go with no? No. I like the way Face Dad, you said, I don't know them people. I don't know them people. I don't know nothing about them. Now, this is just me personally, so don't none of you come up to me after church and I think you're wrong about this here. Because this is my personal opinion. I don't think it's a good idea of letting little children go home and spend the night with their friends all the time. I think it's a bad habit to start, and it's one that you can't stop. And whenever the fires get ignited, you act like you don't believe me, so I'll just dig a little deeper right here. You say, I know my children. No, you don't. No, you don't. You won't know your children until your children are grown. You just got little ones living in your house that's eating your food right now, sucking up your air conditioner. Sleeping on your bed. That's all they're doing right now. That's all they're doing right now. Matter of fact, I'm so stern on correction. Sister Samantha, if you want to reach over and just slap him right side of the head right now. No, don't do it. Don't do it. I shouldn't have said that to her. It don't take much to provoke her right there. And Josiah ain't done nothing wrong. He ain't done nothing wrong in the last 5 minutes. He's a good young man. He's a good young man. Let's go on. I tell you what. Let me pray, because I may preach this whole thing y'all standing up. I don't know if you can take it. Can you take it, Charles? Let's do it then, son. Don't bother me none. I'm going to be up anyway. Father, thank you for letting us be here this morning. God, help us direct our mind and our lips this morning. Please, I pray, Lord, there's folk here that need something from you. And God, they see it, no doubt, in your word. I just pray that you'll be with those next door and help them. Be with Brother Alex as he preaches this morning. God, I just pray that you'll touch each one of us. Help us. Use us. Be with them as they travel home, the girls. God, we need you. We're needy people, and we're living in a needy hour. So do that for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Please, I'm asking you in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Verse 4, the Bible says, yet he restored the money to his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. You ever been someplace where they got all kind of images in folks' houses? You might have some yourself. When we were in Portugal a few years back, we had a wonderful opportunity to get to go to, and I don't even remember, I was trying to think about this, Brother Jeremy, this morning. How many different castles do you think we went to? I don't even remember. So many. It was wonderful, really. A wonderful trip. Historical. And a common denominator among all these castles is this, that almost every one of them, over the doors and on the corners and all across the front, the tops, around the sides, they had gargoyles. Anybody know what a gargoyle is? They look like some kind of little stone-made devil. They look demonic. The last thing I want on my house or our church, I don't want nobody driving up and say, is that gargoyles they got on the church? I don't want nobody to see nothing around the house of God that looks like it could be translated as being demonic. That's why I'm kind of on this side of the fence when it comes to worship, that Christians ought to be happy. Gargoyles don't make you happy. We've seen them things. I asked my wife a real serious question. I said, is that gargoyles? She said, it looks like it. I said, why would they put that there? Well, dig into church history a little bit, you find out some things, don't you? encourage you to read. And the man Micah, verse 5, had a house of gods. Now, let me bring you up to date. His mama had set money back to give to her son. Dedicated to this boy. And what she wanted him to do was take this money that has been dedicated, that she has saved and obtained somehow or another. I'm wanting to think she didn't work for it. Because when you work for money, you don't throw money away. Now, whenever you get money without having to work, you don't think nothing about it. That's why rich kids complain when their dad buys them a BMW on their 16th birthday. They want a Porsche. I'm thinking, what was I thinking? I did the wrong store. I just want to help my children. Okay? Don't give them the money. Make them work for it. That'll help them. That's how Daddy helped me get a truck, get a car. I wanted one. He said, "You want me to help you?" I said, "I do." He said, "Okay, son, I will. Go get you a job." I'm thinking, I didn't even have a way to go get a job. He said, "Act like a Christian. Act like Jesus. Walk." Amen. Walked everywhere he went. Amen. The Bible says that in Micah, and the man Micah had a house of gods and made an ephod and a teraphim. You know what the ephod was for. As they wore that, it had identification. It made statements. It's like when Christians wear certain clothes. Your clothing makes statements. Now people say, "You're discriminating against me because I'm wearing this." No, come on, wake up. What we wear makes statements. I was asked to do a wedding one time over on Cumberland Island, and it was July. July means extra hot in southeast Georgia. August ain't no help. But I was asked to do a wedding, Brother Larry, so I told folk, I said, "Well, I really didn't really want to do it." I said, "What I'm going to do?" I said, "I'm going to just tell them the only way I'll do it is I have a pretty high charge on stuff like that." And they said, "Okay." I said, "I don't think you understand what the cost is." She said, "So tell us. We'll do it." Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling something right now. Felt a little glory on that one, Brother Dan. So I put a ridiculous price out there, and they said, "You want us to mail you a check?" I said, "Wait a minute, I ain't done yet. There's more. I got to pay to get over there." And the ferry ride is pretty high cost, and of course then I got to buy gas to go from my house down there and wear and tear my truck. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway. And I get on that thing, Steve, I get on this ferry boat over there, and I have got on a black three-piece suit in July. Brother, it's hot. I'm sitting there with a handkerchief in each hand and a Bible on my lap. I'm going across over there going, I'm wiping sweat. I mean, if my Bible would have failed, it would have just dropped. I'm wiping sweat. I'm too busy. Somebody looks there at me and said, "You going to do a wedding or something?" I said, "You think?" July, three-piece suit. Everybody else got walking shorts on, which I wasn't going to go that far. Probably could have done it. Who would have cared in this world? Oh, my wife. I'm just saying what you wear bears identification. Some of you work in places where you're required to wear a certain type of clothing, certain kind of. It lets us know that you belong to something. It's identification. I was riding down Charlie Smith over here the other day, Brother Darnell. I seen a young man. July, it's August. It's August now. The heat index every day is above 100 degrees. Did you know that most of the heat that comes out of your body comes out through the top of your head? Anybody read that at school? And I ride by, there's a young man standing on the sidewalk with a sweatshirt on and a hoodie pulled down over his head. That's identification. That's not a style. That's a dingbat, that's what that is. Or their own excessive blood thinners. I'm sorry, Brother Charles. I had to say something. She kept pointing at you. She wanted me to say something. You're used to it. Identification. Go down to the hospital. It ain't hard to tell who's a nurse and who's not. Go down to the hospital. It's not hard to tell who's a doctor and who's not. Most mechanics, they'll wear a uniform. Military wears. I'm just saying, what you wear is identification. And what you wear on your face says some things. I've just never been a smiling person. Have you ever been a saved person? Hey, something about getting saved. Larry Turner got saved. He ain't quit smiling yet. I like it. I hope he never stops. What would be a real test is Sister Carol whoop him in the eye. And if he keeps smiling, right there, I'm thinking, that man's been born again, washed in the blood, I'm telling you. Sold out Christian from Calvary. Amen. A teraphim. This teraphim. These little images. That's what she said. We're going to make little images. That's what teraphims are. These little images. And they're using these things. And the Bible says, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. Now hang on right here, because he's tried to do something to make him religious. So he set one of his sons apart. He consecrated him. Let's use this terminology real loosely, if you don't mind. He consecrated him to the Lord. Well, that's how you become a priest. Hannah gave Samuel to the Lord. He was consecrated. And the Bible says that he made him... He said his son, who became his priest. Well, there's much more to know about this, because this man is not of the lineage of a priestly lineage. Did you know that a lot of people act like they're a child of God, but they're not been born again yet? I mean, they can sing the songs. They'll stand up and they got them a book, and boy, I'm telling you, they know how to take and just got a beautiful voice. Some folk don't have to be saved to sing. They just got a beautiful voice. I've met people with beautiful voices before. Man, they could sing. Now, that didn't mean they're saved. Some of the most famous songs, people sung them all around the world on different occasions. How Great Thou Art. Well, I mean, who's that talking about? None other than the Lord. But I've seen a lot of people sing it. I've seen a lot of people that act like, in their lifestyle, in their way, in their conversation, act like they hate America. But then they stand up and sing the Star Spangled Banner. I'm just saying, they some things that's crazy. Probably never been a song sung as much as Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Once was lost, now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I wonder how many lost people sing that, Brother Darnell. I don't know how many lost people have asked by request at their funeral, when the day come, that somebody would sing Precious Memories. I think, are you kidding me? And not only just sing Precious Memories, but let Elvis do it. Well, let's read on. Let's read on. His son became a priest. The Bible said in verse 6, in those days, there was no king in Israel. You know what that means when you say that there's no king in Israel? That means there's no law. It means there's no rule. Can I tell you this? As a Christian, as a child of God, you need rule. You need a Christian law. You need morals. I need that. We got to have a fence that we're not supposed to go beyond. That's what the laws of this book are for, to keep us from jumping the fence and trying to eat somebody else's pasture. To get out there in the world and become involved. I'm telling you, that's what God has given us this book, this guideline for. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 165, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I need it. I need it lest I wander off into a dark place that's covered and coated with sin. Why do you think the wickedest places that this world possesses are dark? Dark. He said in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So now we found out about a woman. We found out about a woman that was wicked at heart, a woman that didn't really care about her son. I believe she just wanted a name for herself. I think she just won't be able to tell the neighbors how her boy turned out. That's what most folks like to brag on. You know my boy? You know what he's doing now? CEO down at the bank. Just thought I'd let you know that. I can see it on your face. You won't ask. Driving around. Lexus. SUV. I mean, drives itself. Run out in front of it if you want to. I'm thinking, yeah. You run out there if you want to. I bet this woman was thrilled over the fact that even though she had given him her money, that no doubt at times for the Chris she had done without for her own things. And now he's turned it in to God's. And in her mind she's thinking, because I have consecrated this money to the Lord for my boy, and the boy consecrated his son to the Lord for a priest. There's just some things in this story that I'm telling you. I don't know if you're getting it or not, but it's just puzzling to me. You might understand it, Brother Darnell. You've read so much Bible. You probably got a grip on this thing right here. But all the grip that you got, I'm fixing to confuse it, because I'm gonna keep reading the scripture. And you read the rest of this scripture, you really are confused. The Bible says in verse number 7, there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. He's just a young man. You know what his name was? Me neither. It's not important. It's not important who's doing wrong. What's important is that they're doing wrong and they need to start doing right. Bible says this in verse number 8, and the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. What's the chances, friend? Let me say it again. Listen real close. What's the chances? Do you know what a Levite is supposed to be doing? Do you know the job of a Levite? When they was using the tabernacle, the times of the tabernacle, the Levite was the workers. The Levite was the people that when they got tired, they fixed to have sacrifices. It was the Levites that go out and gather the wood. It was the Levites, Brother Chris, that would take the tabernacle down and move it and set it back up. That was the job of the Levites. The job of the Levites wasn't just a journey around the countryside randomly by themselves. That is somebody that got out of church and got away from the house of God and got away from the fellowship of God and thinks it's okay just to go wherever a door will open up to them and jump in there with all the rest of them folk. And when you jump in there with the rest of them folk, everything will be all right because nobody will know that I'm a Levite and they don't care what my job is and what I've done, where I was just at. I wonder, did they run him off from where he was just at? But it's strange for a Levite not to be with his people. And it's strange for Christians not to be with their people. I thank God. I thank God when people come by the church. Boy, I appreciate it. That means they're looking for a church. I believe. I hope they are. I have in my short time of pastoring, I've seen a few occasions where some folk had come by back in years gone by, Brother Dalton, where they come to cause trouble. And, but God reveals that usually pretty quickly. And that's, you know, that's an easy fix. And but this man here, he's just wandering around. And he just so happens, as he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, that he ends up with somebody that's doing what he's not supposed to be doing. Did you ever notice how the devil will make a way? We've heard this said so many times. Y'all heard it. Kids go to youth camp. You ever seen young people go to youth camp? Go to youth camp. And they get to youth camp, Brother Danny. They go backslidden. They didn't want to go to start with. Mom and Dad just wanted them to go because they was hoping that they'd get the heart right with the Lord and God would do something real big and special for them and they'd come home revived. That's not too much to ask. That's what I'd pray for. But you let a backslidden kid go to youth camp and it'll take him about 5 minutes before he has found another backslidden kid and now you got two disgruntled church members. Kids. I'm sorry, that slipped out like that. You know, oh my goodness. Y'all know what I'm saying. You get two disgruntled church people. I'm going to go ahead and go back there. You get two disgruntled church members. You know what they do all the time? They fellowship. You can pretty much tell me who you fellowship all the time with. And I could kind of get a good idea about your Christian walk. You believe that? I do. You put one disgruntled church member with another disgruntled church member, and they don't care if they transform nobody else. They're happy in Jesus being unhappy. They're miserable. They're disgusted with the way the preacher does everything down there. They're disgusted with the way the Sunday school teachers teach. They don't like the song service. The music's too loud. The temperature's too cold. The carpet's wore out. The pews are too hard. Church is too long. It's 10 minutes till 12. James is here this morning. We're going to stay a while. Love you, brother. Good to see you. Anybody get mad at me? Get mad at me today. Go ahead. I got the police sitting right up yonder. I brought your handcuffs. I can't see a thing up there. Big old glare on the glass. I'm talking to him like he agrees with everything I say. Bible says in Micah verse 9, said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I'm a Levite of Bethlehem, Judea, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. You ever had to make any decisions in your Christian life that you just knew it was so ultimately necessary that you better pray about that first?
I have.
Y'all got married? I know y'all prayed about it. Yeah. Dalton had perfect peace over this deal. Sister Sadie's still praying. She said, I guess we'll move forward, but I'm just kidding you. I love young couples when they first get married. Boy, you can just tease the life out of them. Huh? I intend to. Amen. Taryn, Nathan, I'm excited about that. Tried to marry them off yesterday. They wouldn't do it. And, well, half of them wouldn't. He said, whence comest thou? And he said, I'm going to leave out of Bethlehem, Judea, and go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, a stranger? Come on now. Hey, come on, Christians. A stranger that you don't even know? Somebody that don't believe like you? You know what you know about Micah? Nothing. You know he does like gargoyles. That tells me something. He's got little gods set up in his house. Do you think a Levite in his right mind would want to dwell in a place like that? Huh? Are y'all getting the picture right in here? And all of a sudden, here's this man that's got gargoyles and molding images of gods. The Bible said he had gods in his house. And he looks to the Levite and said, dwell with me. I've read this over and over and over, and still my mind is so shocked that that was such an easy acceptance. I can't believe it. I can't believe that neither one of them asked anything about each other. You say, well, you don't know that. You don't know they did. The Bible won't say it. We'll leave it right there. Oh, you can fill the gray spots in with a lot of different color, but it's still going to be gray when you get done. Micah didn't say, let's pray to my gods. I got a bunch of them. The Levite didn't say, let's pray to my God. I've got one. You know what you and I do as Christians in the Christian life, in the Christian world we live in today? Nobody prays and nobody asks, God, do you think it'd be okay for me to have that in my house? Brother Gary, I'm going to just draw some lines at my house. I ain't don't have nobody come in there sucking up on a Budweiser. Not my house. Well, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We got the sign in the house. In case you ain't never read the scripture in Joshua, it's in the house. You come to my house, it's in the house. Amen. Hey, I ain't going to have nobody. Listen, you come to my house with beer on your breath. You come in there with beer on your breath. I'm going to go, what you need? We'll be on the porch when we're talking about it. What you need? You say you might get a test. I might. But as of right now, today, this morning, while I'm preaching, This morning, I'm going to let you know how it's going to be. You say, I'd ask you to say, what's one of your kids? I hope God would give me the grace to do right. He did Brother Leroy Blaylock. Brother Leroy's brother and his daddy come to his house drinking and drunk. And they said, we just come to visit with you. He said, no, we ain't coming. You ain't coming no further. You ain't coming up to my house. That's hard words. To your daddy. But daddy ought to know that he's a Christian. Somebody got to draw some lines. And Micah said, hey, why don't you just dwell with me? And this Levite ain't even said, well, tell me some things about yourself. I mean, I might not even like the same kind of TV shows you like. I might not even like the same kind of food you eat. You might like Italian. Notice how I said that, Italian. You might like Greek. There ain't nobody like Greeks don't like Greek. Might like Chinese. I mean, this Levite, he's kind of limited on what he can eat. They ain't even talking about nothing. Here's a man that is serving of the God of this world, inviting somebody to come in. That's a Christian. He said, sure. Well, in our hour, things has been switched the other way. Now it's not people from the world inviting Christians in. It's Christians. You can hit me right here if you'd like to. It's Christians inviting people that's living like the world. And then if I don't accept it, I'm the bad guy. If I don't welcome them with open arms, I'm a hound dog that won't even tree a coon. I'm worthless. I'm disliked. I'm ostracized. That's what happens to us when we're trying to have a standard for God, when we're trying to live like God wants us to do, when we're trying to walk in an upright way. Hey, when we're trying to walk where there really is a king in the land. He said, dwell with me. Wonder how many people these last few years the day we live in now. I was talking to Joey Chancellor on the phone the other day, and he said, what are you doing? He called me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting here watching live PD. You ever seen live PD? I like live PD. Live PD is the only police force in the world that's clearing the streets of drugs. And then, of course, Bub James Flowers. You've watched it, James. You are live PD. Listen to this guy. Wow. I better not let him say nothing else. If he said, I am the I am. He really is. He is live PD. That's why we need to pray for him. Every traffic stop they make on that TV show, them people got dope in the car. Every one of them. Joy said, have you ever seen such? Every time they make a traffic stop, they get drugs off them people. I said, it makes me wonder about the people that we're passing up and down the highway all the time. Who's carrying drugs and who ain't? They used to have traffic stops where they'd check your license and insurance, and they probably still do it. There's just so much traffic now, they can't do it as often, understand? I like what one fellow said. He said, there's two women in the car, and he stopped them, and he stuck his head in the window, and he goes, whoo! He says, it smells like there was a bushel. They call it weed. And he asked this one woman, the two together. He asked the one woman, says, when was the last time you smoked some? About 4 or 5 hours. He goes, whew, still mighty strong. He asked the other one that wasn't with him because he moved her over here. I like the way they do that. I should have been a cop. You ever want me to ride with you, you call me, okay? I don't know if they do that stuff anymore or not. I'll be the preacher, you be the police. All right? We'll work. Tag team. You take them to jail and I'll get them out of hell. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we going to do? Amen. Amen. And he had his son when he said, yes, son. He said, how long has it been since y'all smoked that thing? She just laughing her head off. You know she's ripped. She said, I'm sorry. She said, you're just so funny. All he said was, how long has it been since you smoked anything? He said, well, how long has it been? She said, about 5 minutes. That other one just got busted. And he looked at me and says, she says it's been 5 minutes. She said, for real? That's all it's been? For real? 5 minutes? You know what happens to you and I? We're Christians. And we are letting anything and everything from that world. Listen to me. Please listen to me and help me. Anything and everything from that world have access into our lives and to our homes. That might not be somebody, but I mean, I don't know what you watch on TV. I think you can still watch TV and still watch things that is not destroying to the testimony that you have as a Christian. Amen. Live PD is one of them. Amen. He said, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. Now we're starting to learn some things about this guy. Problem number one, he ain't had no daddy. Huh? Where's the man of the house? Where's the man at? You know what you're supposed to be? You know what your duty at the home is? To be that priest. You know what your job to be is? The wife. Women are not priests. Well, not in the Baptist church anyway. So what does that mean, Brother Edward? That means that you and I, sir, we're not to be overseers. We're not overbearing. We're not to be dominary. We're not cavemen. We're to be kind. You can't be mean and ugly to your wife and at the same time love your wives as Christ loved the church. He's wanting this. He must have been older. He says, and a priest. He said, if you'll be a priest, we'll have a religious home. He said, and if you'll do these things, he said, I'll give you 10 shekels of silver. Oh, big money. I thought about him. I thought, he's Baptist. Where did offering plate go? Anybody got a dollar? That's all you going to put in there? You know, I thank God. Let me say this. I mean, there's a lot of churches. I've seen people that, I mean, all they ever put in was a dollar. Let me tell you something. There's a time in your life that a dollar could put you in a financial bind. So that would put it way up there high on the list in the eyes of God. Do you ever remember reading a story about a woman that had two mites? She gave all. And it was just two mites. That's all it was, James, just two mites. But he said, I'll give you 10 shekels of silver. 10 shekels. Her mama gave the silversmith 200 shekels to make false gods. And now he's offering 10 shekels for a year. This whole story blows me away, brother. We will take our hard-earned money and give it to people to live like a lost person. Now, there ain't nothing wrong. You got to pay your bills. I'm going to tell you, some rascal come up to me wanting their money, my money that I've worked for, that I've sweated over, and say, hey, can you help me out right here? I sure can. Really, I can. I just saw down there at Wendy's, they need help down there. They got a help wanted sign out front. Go join the military. If you're smart enough to pass the test, go join the military. Huh? Do whatever you got to do. Get you a job. Get out of here, hobo. That's the hour we're living in. Our children have been taught to be moochers. You know what makes a child become a moocher? They've been given way too much, way too long. See, I just try to help them. I just kind of help them because life's just been bad. Life ain't been bad to nobody. You in America. This is America. I said, Brother Edward, you don't know my brother, just it's been so hard on my brother. You better tell somebody else this sad story because I ain't thinking about it. You don't know. Bible says, of some having compassion, Jew, of some having compassion. Not everybody. Here he says, and a suit of apparel and thy victuals. So I'm gonna give you one suit. I'm gonna give you 10 shekels of silver. and I'm going to give you food and a place to stay for 1 year if you'll be a priest in my home. And the backslidden man says, wow, what a deal. From one backslidden man to another. What a deal. I'll take it. Where did they pray? Where did they pray? Let's look at it and see. Where did they pray? Let's pray about this. Would the Lord have us do this? Well, you're backslidden. I'm backslidden. I don't think God would be upset with this. The last part of verse number 10, so the Levite went in. Verse 11. Here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. Brother Gary, this describes a lot of church folk that are disgruntled and backslidden. Can you hear me? Y'all can hear me in the back? I'll make sure everybody can hear me in the back. I know if everybody can hear me in the back. Someone hear me in the back, everybody can hear me in the back. And the Levite was content to dwell with the man. Here's what happens. Help me if you will. When we get so backslidden, we'll accept everything that goes on. Are you listening? You ain't listening to me. When we get so backslidden and get away from where we're supposed to be. Let's say it like this, because the Levite is supposed to be around that tabernacle. When we get so backslidden and get away from church and get away from God and get away from the Bible and get away from right and get away from holiness, get away from smiling, get away from the joy of the Lord is your salvation. We're content with being around anybody, saved or not. What happened here? And the young man was unto him as one of his sons. Wait a minute. He asked, would you be a father and a priest? You better listen real close, because there's a lesson right here. He said, I want you to come. You know what a father does? You know what, Brother Jeremy, you know what your father did? He taught you. I hear people all the time say, oh, my son teaches me all kinds of stuff. I say, are you that dumb? You know what my son knew? Nothing. You know who still calls who for advice? I'm telling you. If I was at the house working on something, and Jared comes up there and says, Dad, you're doing that all wrong. Here's what you should be doing with stuff like that there. After I've been working on it for most of my life, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay my tools down. I'm going to wipe the grease off my hands, and I'm going to pick up a big wrench. Don't get nervous. And I'm going to tell you better fix that. Because if you don't, I'm hitting you with this big wrench, Mr. Know-it-all. Are you with me, brother? You okay. All right. See, I know what kind of house you come up in right now. I can tell it. Praise the Lord. Now, what has happened? He said, hey, why don't you move in with me? I'm gonna just spin it around, because here's what he was after. Why don't you move in with me and be a father, be an instructor, give me wisdom, be my priest, teach me about God. I'll submit to your Christian ways while I'm in your home. And he got him in. And he said, wait a minute, Mike. You didn't even ask the blessing over the food. You didn't even, what are you doing with that? What are you doing with that fermented wine? What are you doing listening to that? Why are you dressing like that? That's why that cross town over there. Y'all got the point by now. I think you have. And Micah speaks up and says, shut up. You've got like a son to me. I'll tell you what to do. I just want to get you in the house. there was a reason why he wanted to get him in the house. And this chapter winds it up right here. This is a great chapter, I'm telling you. This is a great story. And Micah, who was Micah again? Brother Darnell, who was he? We don't know, do we? Don't say. You know what? I read, James, trying to find out who this Micah is. You know what? Nobody knows. I mean, Elijah comes up in chapter 17. He's only there for a couple of chapters. But the Bible does say Elijah, the Tishbite. He's a man of God. This man comes out of nowhere and nobody... He might just be... Can we flip it around? Will y'all be all right? This real pretty girl just moved to town. Where'd she come from? Who cares? Look how pretty she is. You know how a boy about 16, 17-year-old is... They're like, I don't care if she come from the moon. Look at her. Y'all know I'm telling it right. Don't make no difference. Here's this man named Micah, and he comes up out of nowhere, and he makes big promises of somebody that was a Christian, and he's trying to get him out of doing the Christian duties that he's doing, makes big promises, offers him money, offers him a place to live and food to eat and clothes to wear. And when he finally says he's content with living there, he didn't even pray about it, he moves in and he says, hey, you're just like a son to me is all you are. Don't try to tell me what to do. I know enough about religion. My mama was religious. My mama was a preacher. So now, here he is, a wicked man serving false gods. Verse 12 says, and Micah consecrated the Levite. Are you kidding me? By what authority? That's like a lost man fasting. Why would a lost man fast? I hear lost people all the time talking about praying. Oh, this was a God thing God did. This was God. I've heard that so much. I want to puke every time I hear somebody say this is a God thing. Please don't say that around me. I'm wanting to go, I might get your shoes. You better know God ain't a thing. And He's holy. And He's right. And He's perfect. And His judgments are righteous and true. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah. And Micah said, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. You know what that is? That's a content devil that has mesmerized and captured a worker of the cross. Somebody no more will be of service to the Lord. How many folks do you think, maybe, one time or another, they were sold out for God? Brother Larry, they read, they prayed, they come to church every service. But one by one, listen to me real closely if you don't mind. I'm about done. Come to the piano if you would, please. One by one, the devil offered them little invitations. Might have been a year's salary. Might have been a new outfit. Might have been a meal down there at Longhorns. Might have been a place to stay. Oh, you got people on your mind that you're thinking about, oh, I know somebody. This is just a too common scenario right here that could be applied to so many. And one by one, the devil, he got them. And he was happy knowing that this trophy that used to be a sold-out Christian. Yeah, you're thinking about people. Now, is not even a priest, But he's been told by a man that said he's going to take the responsibility of consecrating him and making him a priest. And now he's doing nothing. He's not going to be carrying wood no more in honor for God for a burnt offering or a burnt sacrifice. He's not going to be helping nobody put up the house of God no more, take it down and handle it with such care. We need folk that work in the house of God. We need people that take this to heart, that is real to them, don't we? This church means so much to me. I'm thankful for the good people that are here. But I'm telling you, our country is going down so fast because there's people that used to be on the battlefield. They used to be serving God, and now, Brother Josh, and now the house of God don't mean nothing to them. They literally, sister, they got them a little bit of real cream religion, if you will, just a little dab of them. You gonna tell me? You can't tell me. This woman, I'm thankful so much for her. She's got a couple of miles on her. This one back here's got a few miles on her. But they're here every service. How they do that? You want to. Now, one by one, he's looking for your children. He's making them offers. He's telling them, you know what you got to do, Brother Gary? You just got to say, no, we're going to church tonight. No. And what, I'm tired. I'm going to church tired. I want to ask you, has Michael come by your way and offered you anything? Has he taken you from that place that you used to serve at? That's what he done here. Has he disrupted your home? Do you realize that in somebody's home, there's a family that they're missing a young Levite man? And Micah's teaching him to drink. And Micah's teaching him to worship false gods. And Micah's got him dressing in a way that he ought not be dressed in. This ain't making sense to a lot of people, but a lot of people are getting it. I'm just going to ask you this morning. If the devil comes by and offers you all these glorious things, and he's got them. He's got them. He's got money. He's got the lifestyle. He's got the fun. He's got it all. But he ain't got God. He ain't got God. And he ain't got peace. And he ain't got salvation. I'm gonna just keep what the Lord's gave me. January 27th, 1972. He gave me life eternal. If anything at all, I want to dig a little deeper. The Fairfield Four. Black group, black quartet from, I think they're from Alabama, from not or Mississippi. They sing a song. One of my favorite songs I've ever heard. If you ain't ever heard, you need to hear it. Dig a little deeper. For his love. Dig a little deeper. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna dig a little deeper. Because if I dig the way I wanna dig, I'm gonna dig shallow. I'm gonna quit fast. But if I dig deeper, James, I'm gonna find him. The deeper I dig, the more I get out of God. That's why when I come to church, I come looking for a blessing, Sister Sue. I'm not gonna leave. I'm not gonna leave on half full. I'm wanting him to give me everything he will. I'm wanting him to load me with some benefits. I'm wanting to get up under the spout where the glory runs out. Amen. I'm not a half time Christian. 7 days, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week Christian. Saved. Am I perfect? By no means. I promise you. But I promise you this, that don't stop my heart for longing to be closer to Him. Let's all stand together if you would. Michael, come by your way. Has he come by your way? I'm just going to say this morning. You know. You know if He's made you offers, He's especially after our young people. He's especially after young teenagers. He's after those that said, Dad, how come you don't like him? Answer them realistically. Be honest with them, you know. He's an idiot. He's dumb. Girl, bring a boy into the house. You got a daughter. You raise up a girl. You put 16, 17 years into their life. Then some boy comes along. All he's going to do is sit there on the telephone the whole time. Sit there and walk by the mirror and everything. Walk by the mirror going, I'm going to tell that sir, get gone, Dudley. That's the long version of dud. Yeah, got you with me. Amen. Too much work. Too much time. Too much involved to throw them away. You better watch out for them, Micahs. Better watch out for them. They're after your children. But what do? Get closer. James said, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Get closer. Closer. Quit worrying about things of this world. Quit worrying about them. Listen, the things of this world is what steals them. You said they got to be apart. Who told you that? Micah? They got to have friends. Who? Like Micah? Father, I pray this morning, God, you take this message. I pray, God, that you'd use it. I pray, Lord, to be a sovereign thought, God, that would help us to be aware, to be focused, to be realistic about our life and the life of others. God, it's a horrible thing to think about someone with a personality, an attitude, or disposition like of this Micah coming by. God, what's really disrupting is to think about how his mama trained him to be like that. I thought she loved him. All I know is, God, I'm glad you love me. I'm glad you love this church. Help us to be focused. Help us to be aware. Help us to be sober. And help us to live for you. And help us, I pray, to come back tonight. I pray that you'd encourage us. Pray for Brother Gabriel tonight. He'll be with us. God, please. We need you. We need you, Lord. In this hour, we need you. Our families need you. Our children need you. In Jesus' name, I pray.